Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 1st of November, 2009. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, we're going back to a series that Tim started back in September, where he looked at fear being a barrier to faith. This week, he's looking at another barrier, unworthiness. So let's go and join Tim as he's starting the sermon.
This morning, we're going to continue something that we've been thinking of over this autumn, and that is about faith. And if you remember, Andrew talked about faith and unpacked what its character was like and how God wanted to implant it into our lives and to draw us deeper into that. And we've also picked up some things that can get in the way over the last few weeks as well. And this morning I want us to continue with that, thinking about another barrier to our faith. And that barrier is unworthiness. Unworthiness. Hopefully it's coming up now. She's looking at me. Yes. Oh, barriers to faith. Unworthiness. And we're focusing on this attitude, this sort of way of being that can sometimes be so destructive. Because it can be a barrier which stems from the tension between wanting to be the best that we possibly can be and knowing that we never get there. You know that sort of tension? Anybody ever experienced that? You know where you want to be, but you never quite manage it. And there's always that sort of sense. And it can sort of portray itself as a debilitating sort of sense of failure and frustration. And if we don't address it, then we can sometimes find ourselves wallowing either in self-doubt and recrimination, or trying to live up to ideals and living with constant disappointment. So actually sorting out this feeling, this attitude, this tension, it's actually quite important. So let's unpack this just for the next few minutes. And the first thing I want to say is really liberating and joy-filled. It's this. You are unworthy. Okay? That's a good starting point this morning, isn't it? You're all feeling really quite depressed now, aren't you? Should we just go home and have lunch? No. Hang on a minute, you say. Okay, if that's true, then why is it a barrier to faith? Well, we will get back to answer that. But first of all, we need to have a little think about where our sense of unworthiness or lack of value can come from. I don't know about you, but I do meet people who have such low self-esteem, you wonder how they got out of bed in the morning. And it can be so debilitating, this sense of unworthiness. In our society, you know, we're constantly judging ourselves in comparison to other people. We do it all the time. And in fact, it's encouraged in the workplace, isn't it? To keep people aspiring to go further up the career ladder, to increase performance, you have to sort of keep an eye on how you're performing in relation to everybody else. And in fact, it's present in any gathering of ordinary people. Human beings seem to be built this way because we constantly compare ourselves in relationship to those who are around us. You know, who's taller or bigger or smarter or more attractive, or fatter, or thinner. In fact, we're always judging ourselves in relation to other people. And I can almost guarantee that you've done it today as you've come into church. You may not have been hugely conscious, but you will have. You would have said, ooh, I like what they're wearing. Oh, don't like what they're wearing. And do you know what I mean? We're constantly, it's almost an inbuilt attitude of us as human beings, But sometimes it can get out of control and become a real problem. You know, even ministers do it when they get together. You know, they talk about, you know, is my church growing? Is it bigger? Have we had more baptisms? Are we more radical? Are we more spiritual? You know, we're always, always comparing ourselves. And it can be very destructive. Because the problem with all this comparing is it just doesn't work when you talk about faith. It just doesn't. Because when it comes to relating to God, no comparisons with anybody else work. It's just you and God. Here's a passage which helps us to put this into context. Do you want to read it with me? But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did this by means of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public, to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it's now. This is current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in his rightness. Now, I really, really like that version. Now, I don't read the Message every day, but there's something about reading that passage from Romans in that particular version which I find quite powerful, because it communicates truths that many of us have grown up with in a slightly different way and puts it very personally into us in our relationships. I really liked that bit where we've compiled this long... what's that one? Next. It's not working. It doesn't want to work. Ah. It's gone. Come back. There we are. We've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and proved that we're utterly incapable of living the glorious lives that God wills for us. You really are enjoying this morning, aren't you? I can tell. It does get better. I need some help now. I need to know who actually is the best footballer at the moment, because I have absolutely no interest in football whatsoever. So I need some help. Okay, who is the best footballer at the moment? Who? Crouch. Okay, I'll take your word for it. That's great. Right, now, can I just sort of get your imagination going for a second then? Can I imagine you are playing him in a game of football? Okay? Who is going to be better at playing? You are. We'll have to set this up, won't we, and have a test. We'll see. But I think the reality is that in the comparison stakes, we know that we would not be as good as him playing football. Yeah? Unless there are some very, very talented people who've been hiding their gift. and practicing very hard in the background. Many people try to do a comparison in regard to sin. Because we say, well, I'm better than so-and-so, but maybe I'm not quite as good as that person. And we try to do this sort of comparison thing, which really, unfortunately, doesn't work with God. Might make us feel better, but it actually has absolutely no impact in our relationship with God. Nicky Gumbel sometimes talks about the way we tend as human beings to try to grade sin and the wrong things which are in our lives. And he suggests that if you put names on a pillar, big pillar, you know, the really bad Bin Ladens and Saddam Husseins and Hitlers are at the bottom, and at the top of the pillar is, you know, people like Mother Teresa, you know, real saintly sort of people. Where would you put yourself if you were to do that? Where would you put yourself? Roughly in the middle? Some of you are a little bit more angelic than others. Of course, I don't know you well enough yet to be able to decide where I'd put you. But the thing is that now you're supposed to imagine that rather than a pillar to the roof of the building here, the standard was all the way to the sky. Now, who actually makes the grade? None of us. None of us. Because even the best we can do as human beings is nowhere near the holiness of God and the glory of Jesus. Lutzer says these words, "Only those who see themselves as utterly destitute can fully appreciate the grace of God." Isn't that good? So who is worthy then? Well, no one. Well, not quite. Jesus is worthy. We know, don't we, from Scripture that Jesus lived a perfect life, and so he is the example to all Christians of what life is supposed to be like. And in the book of Revelation, we have this very clearly expressed. "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the seal, the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders." Now from that little passage from Revelation, note that John was appalled to realize that no one was worthy to take the holy word of God and open it. No one. No one from the past. You know, if you go out that door over there, you see some really ugly ministers from ages gone by. None of them would have been worthy to open the scroll. No one from our present. You know, even St. Andrew is not actually worthy. And nobody from the future, or the potential of the children out there, none of them is going to be worthy either. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, is. And that realization helps us to accept ourselves as unworthy, but results in praise and thanksgiving rather than any sense of depression or frustration. here's how they sort of talked about it in Revelation again. Do you want to read it with me? And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. You can get a sort of sense there, can't you? The excitement of recognizing Jesus is the one who is worthy. The thing is, if we have to get through this comparison attitude about things, if we are really going to deal with the barrier to faith, which is unworthiness, we need to be serious about it, don't we? We need to get this clear in our minds and our hearts. I like this little quote. "Half our doubts and fears arise from dim perceptions of the real nature of Christ's gospel. The root of a happy religion is clear, distinct, well-defined knowledge of Jesus Christ." Isn't that what we were exploring last week with Ken? The magnificence of Jesus, his authority, his power, his ability to reach into our experience and totally transform it. Put it another way, in relation to our theme today, you could say we are released from unworthiness by Jesus. You know, Christianity is about setting people free to discover who we are in Jesus. For me, that really was such a key part of what Ken was communicating last weekend. Time and time again, we came back to this image of the magnificence of who Jesus is and who we are when we acknowledge him at the center of our lives. Because in him, comparisons are irrelevant. They don't make any sense anymore. We come from the same position of needing his grace to set us right with God. And so in that sense, unworthiness can become a pathway to recognition of his love and his mercy. Just listen to some passages from the book of Romans. Now, remember for a second that the church in Rome, when Paul was writing to it, was undermined by a lack of standing in society. They were persecuted. They were reviled. They were hated. Now, I think that's a prime candidate for a sense of unworthiness or failure. Yeah? And yet Paul writes these words. "By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus." And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he's already thrown open his door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. Isn't that a great version? You know this one. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. I got excited, so you got loads of these. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. Isn't that good? Kids were excited. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, I could carry on, couldn't I? But that's probably enough. Does that give you a flavour of how exciting what we're thinking of this morning really is? You are unworthy. Isn't that great? Because Jesus is worthy. And he wants to make us worthy because of himself. Earlier I pointed out that we're all unworthy and suggested we could ask, well, if that's true, then why is it a barrier? But the thing is that recognizing our unworthiness can be a pathway through which we receive God's mercy and grace. But alternatively, feelings of unworthiness can become a barrier to faith. By believing somehow we have to be perfect, or at least much better than we are, to be of value and to be precious to God. I've struggled with that. I have a feeling probably many of you have too, as we go through our Christian lives. You know, I have a friend called Suresh, who is a pastor in Sri Lanka. And he teaches about the different ways that the devil likes to try to paralyze and destroy Christians. He talks about the devil being like the roaring lion, you know, very obvious in his attacks. And at other times that the devil likes to pretend to be an angel of light. In both of those scenarios, he reveals himself as the deceiver, telling lies into our lives. Because the deceiver wants us to concentrate on our failings and our failures, to dwell on them, to become bound by them, to become under them. But as Sidney Harris said, a failure is not someone who has tried and failed. It's someone who's given up trying and resigned himself to failure. It's not a condition, but an attitude. I like that. I think there's a lot of truth in there. Because the glory of Christian understanding about unworthiness is that being unworthy, failing, is simply a step to relying more on God's power and strength through the Holy Spirit. It's not about accepting our unworthiness and staying there, but about letting God change us. As another saying goes, failure is not falling down, but it's remaining there when you've fallen. God wants us to be released to recognize the people and situations which have undermined our sense of value. Because every one of us has been impacted by other people in our lives who have put us down, who have injured us, who have in some way brought us to a point of sadness and a feeling of failure, a feeling of unworthiness. Wherever we've been undermined in our sense of value, we need to let God's truth transform and restore us. When Jesus died on the cross, it looked like the end of hope, didn't it? And yet through that apparent failure, the greatest triumph has been secured. I like a summary. Here's a very quick one. You are unworthy. Get used to it. Jesus is worthy. Be encouraged by it. We are released from unworthiness by Jesus. Let God do it for you. Here's a last comment. If you've ever been called a failure or felt unworthy, God says, I love you. If we've ever been wounded and hurt by other people's opinions, God says, let me heal you. If you ever long to be more fully who you should be, God says, let me help.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And also on the website, on the homepage, you'll find something about Back to Church Sunday, which is on the 15th of November. If you haven't been to church in a while, or you'd like to try it for the first time and you've been listening to us on the podcast, then why not come along and join us for Back to Church Sunday. Go to the website to find out more. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.